This is the Kitchen and Bathroom Design Podcast from Taylor's Media in association with KBB Birmingham 2020.
Hi everybody and welcome to the Kitchen and Bathroom Podcast. This is actually the last of our live episodes at the KBB show. Today we're talking about managing the client. Thanks to social media platforms, you know, everybody's so informed and almost have become designers in their own right, or at least they think so. We're going to talk to some expert designers today about how a designer can incorporate the ideas that the consumer brings to the table, but also steer them in the direction of the best design and products for their space. I'm Rebecca Nottingham, the editor of KBB Review magazine, and I'm joined today by...
Hi, I'm Tom Setchell, managing director of Rugby Fitted Kitchens. We're independent kitchen retailers. We've got a bit of arm of contracts, arm to the business as well, based here in the Midlands.
Okay, yeah, thank you.
And I'm Tom Plant. I'm a showroom manager at Porcinosa Solihull here in Birmingham, and we deal with retail kitchens and bathrooms.
My name isn't Tom.
No, thankfully, because that would be a bit awkward for me.
I'm Lindsay. I'm the editor of Kitchens, Bedrooms and Bathrooms magazine.
Brilliant. Well, thank you all for joining me. So I guess from my perspective, my opening gambit was all about, you know, assuming that consumers actually, because of social media, have become so much more knowledgeable. But you guys would know. So Tom, over to you first. Is that something that you've noticed since the...
To a level, definitely. I think the best thing about it is it gives the consumers a much wider vision for what's potentially possible. Clients generally are aspirational, so having it exposure on social media, they come with a lot more aspirational design ideas.
So actually it can help
Absolutely. You
as a designer when they come to you with more ideas.
I think we've all probably seen budgets increase as well on kitchens, so clients may come to you first of all with a lower budget, but once they've started thinking about kitchens and seeing what's possible, then by the time the sale actually comes through, it's usually a lot higher than where they started from.
Okay. Tom, is that the same?
Yeah, I agree. I think a lot of customers now are coming in with iPhones and media devices and showing us what they want to try and produce in their space. So there definitely has been a big increase over the past sort of 5 years, I think.
There are so many tools available now to consumers. So there's obviously Instagram and Pinterest, and they are, well, Pinterest specifically is the most quoted that I hear from consumers when you ask them, where did you get your inspiration from? Obviously alongside visiting showrooms and magazines. But I think the key thing I like to get across is it's a tool. You know, use it as a tool and don't use it as a thing. If I've seen this and this is exactly what I want, for one thing, really do your research and really seek information from lots of different sources and work out what it is that you actually want, because it will benefit you and your family, not because it looks good on online.
Mm-hmm. Obviously you guys are the expert. How do you manage their expectations then if they're coming in with this amazing bathroom or kitchen that they've seen on Pinterest and they say I absolutely want this, but you know where the restrictions are in terms of their size, their project? So
I'd say the biggest challenge is when they do come in with their Pinterest, perhaps really bespoke high-end products that they've seen and really aspire to, but on the budgets that they're actually giving you, the two are so far removed that it's almost an odd starter. And so really, I guess it's just about building relationships. Respect, I think, is really, really important from really part of the whole process. So once you've hopefully gained your client's respect, it's really then nailing down what it is that's absolutely the most important thing to them, for them to have. So that if their budget doesn't allow them to have everything else, at least you can give them the one thing that's really, really important.
Obviously, we're sort of seeing that in terms of people investing more into the worktops, maybe, as opposed to the furniture in certain aspects, or how are they actually going to use their kitchen or their bathroom? I mean, Tom...
I think it's a starting point for the customer. It gets a little bit complicated when they show you an image and their room doesn't represent anything like you're actually looking at.
Yeah.
So they want to fit lots of different aspects in of what they've seen, but you just can't produce it with the space.
You mean when they think you're Doctor Who?
That's it. Yeah. Like a magician, yeah. And then the other aspect of it as well is that it's then trying to tailor what they're looking at to your product as well, because it might give them inspiration, but it doesn't also mean that we have an exact product to match what they're looking for. So it's managing that as well and trying to link them to something that get the idea, right, let's have a look what we can implement in your space.
I've heard a few times when people have found an image on Pinterest, say, that they really, really like, and it turns out to be like an American image or an Australian image, and obviously the spaces over there are so different, the design was different as well, and it's about product availability.
Absolutely, definitely.
you know,
and what products you offer. I think you just touched on that, haven't you? You know, so it's trying to evaluate what they're after and then translate that into the products that you offer.
And a lot of the images you see on these platforms, they are inspirational, but they're also sometimes a bit ahead of the curve. So you have to then manage, well, yeah, okay, I get that you want this. We do some products very similar to that, but I think this would suit your space even better. So as I say, as a starting point, it's great.
Yeah, but again, I suppose that all comes down to sort of that building that relationship with the client. And actually, so how does that work? You know, does it all happen in the first meeting where you actually get to know how they use it, or is it built over a few?
Well, the respect side of things, I think, is something that hopefully gains as the process goes on. And, you know, it's often a very long relationship that we have with our clients as well. So it can be up to 2 years sometimes when they first come and see you. One of the things that I thought of earlier is often we're working with builders' plans. Sorry, this isn't answering your question now. But the whole Pinterest side of things, when you visit a client's house, you get so much information about how they live.
Yeah.
Whereas when they come and see you with builder's plans, actually you don't have any side of that anymore. So to have a look at their pins, then that really gives you an insight into what they're trying to achieve with lots of other messages that you would perhaps pick up on an ordinary refurb, but don't when it's just somebody coming in with impersonalised builder's plans.
Yeah, so that's actually a positive for those kind of tools.
Very
is that
so,
actually
yeah.
for a designer, you can actually gain a lot of insight into how they live, what their...
It does depend on the client, though. Obviously, if it's well researched, that's really, really helpful. But if it's just some rubbish we found on the internet, then you know, that's
and there's
not
plenty of that, isn't there,
absolutely,
on the internet as well.
I quite like when a customer brings a lot of inspiration pictures in, if they've saved quite a lot of stuff on Interest and Pinterest, because it cuts out the first sort of hour's worth of conversation.
Okay.
So
you
can go straight into what they've seen. This, I like this, right, okay, we're off to the races now. We can sort of start building it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Obviously it's a lot of the people that have made boards and stuff like this might be younger clients, but then at the flip side, when if you're dealing with other clients that haven't gone to that, you do then have to use your showroom a lot more to start the inspiration process off, whereas it's like they've already done that homework before they even step into your
So actually, from a designer's perspective, that's giving you crucial time to actually develop the design rather than the conversation. So, and obviously, I mean, your role is part of this whole empowering the consumer to give them more ideas and stuff. So you've kind of helping create these monsters, that are then going into the designers and demanding all of this. So
that's right, I'm very sorry. No, but on KBB Magazine, you know, we're all about information and really, like you say, empowering the reader to know exactly about kitchen, bedroom and bathroom design, what goes into it, what's around, and going more in depth than just the visuals and thinking about, you know, how they use the space and, you know, where to allocate your budget and all of this nitty gritty of actually creating a space that works for them.
Yeah, yeah.
And we always say prep. So, you know, do as much research as possible, visit lots of showrooms, get a few quotes, find a designer that you really like and get on with. And I think, Tom, you touched on the respect thing, which is really important. But I personally think it's really good, and I would never stop encouraging consumers to, you know, feel empowered about their design. It's such a lot of money to invest when they're doing their kitchen or bathroom. So, you know, I think it's a positive thing, and it will keep designers, hopefully, on their toes because they need to be able to react to a consumer who is a bit more clued up than maybe they used to be.
It's you guys that are driving trends as well, so very influential in moving things forward. And, you know, let's face it, we live in a fashion-led industry now.
Yeah.
So without this continued evolution, it's that aspires people to go that step further and get things done, whether that's a house extension or just a new kitchen or, you know, a factor of both.
Yeah.
If we look at it from the side, though, when obviously consumers come in and they want something that is not achievable, and obviously you guys are the ones that have to say, actually, I'm going to have to stop you there, that freestanding clawfoot bath is not going to fit in that really tiny bathroom, or it's just not going to suit the space, or so. But obviously you've also got your businesses, you know, you at the end of the day you want to sell kitchens and bathrooms. When do you get the confidence to say that's not going to work and put your expertise on the table and insist? You know, how do you push that?
I find explaining the technical side of why it won't work.
Okay.
So yeah. I don't want to come across as if, well, no, we can't do that. It's not going to work. But the customer just wants to be explained to, well, why? Why can't I have that? And I think once you... I haven't had a customer yet that if you don't go into the technical side of it and explain why it won't work and how it won't, especially with bathrooms, you've got a much smaller space than in a kitchen, for example.
Of course.
So you've got to be able to open doors, move around, where's the shower screen going to go, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Once you explain it to them, they then... And if you show them an alternative to it, still with the same colours, still with the same feel, if you show them an alternative, usually then you'll get around that.
And all of that, again, is exactly why they're coming to you, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's that product knowledge, it's your expertise. So, but, you know, have you ever had a client then that has insisted that they have something and then, I don't know, a few weeks or 12 months down the line, they've come back and knocked on the door and said, it's not working, and, you know...
Perhaps wouldn't go to that extreme, but I think perhaps a bigger question is, you know, are we designers or are we salespeople? And I think that the real answer is we're probably both.
Both, yeah.
So I've definitely had clients which have really dug their heels over a specific item. And, you know, we've got to the point of it's technically correct, it's legal, and it works with the materials that we can do. I think there's a better way that you can do this here.
Yeah.
But if you're happy to sign the plans, then
right.
I'll sell it to you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think the other, the only time I've ever had that is on, like, durability standpoint and longevity.
Yep.
So, like with kitchens, if you have got a client that wants a specific granite that might be a bit fragile or something like that, you obviously go through all the rigmarole of saying, well, this is a more durable product, might be more cost efficient as well. No, I really want that. That's why I'm heart set on that. I've seen it on all these social media platforms. They go for it, and then 2 years down the line, you're getting phone calls saying, I've stained it with wine or X, Y, and Z.
Sure.
So there's that, but I haven't really had it where someone's really pushed home. Like,
how hard is it not to say, I told you so?
Yeah.
Well, we all think it.
Yeah.
But, rarely say it.
Yeah. Because you want them to come back and have another kitchen or a bathroom.
Yeah. I had an example I came across recently, and it was a beautiful kitchen, and the homeowner was very keen on... sight lines throughout the space into the garden. They had amazing glazing and light, and they didn't actually want an extractor. They didn't want anything that popped up. They didn't want anything that hung down.
Oh, my goodness,
I mean, they should have gone for a vented hob, really. Yeah. But the designer really had a conflict about, you know, this is what the homeowner wants, but I know that extraction is so key, but the homeowner is quite happy to go ahead and, you know, just have to open the doors and all the glazing whenever they needed a bit of fresh air.
Yeah,
I thought that was a really interesting one, because obviously, technically speaking, extraction is so crucial for a kitchen.
How would you? I mean, I can't ask.
I think I've had
exactly
that same situation. In actual fact, I just got the guys to sign the plans to say they're happy.
Okay,
not to have it. So I kind of covered myself in that respect.
Explain what you know, and then let them make the decision.
Yeah, and I think with an extractor, at the end of the day, potentially it's something that could be retrofitted.
Yeah.
So we all know about venting hobs these days, so at the worst case scenario, they come back and buy another hob off you, perhaps with an extractor in the middle of it at a later date.
I had a similar problem with heating, actually. So not to do with extractor, but heating, where the customer wanted completely clean lines in the kitchen, didn't want any radiators anywhere, went for plinth heaters, and the room afterwards was like, it's really cold, I wish I hadn't have ripped them all out. And the electric and the floor heating just didn't do the job.
Right.
But you have had that conversation previously, but I suppose if you don't go again into the technical side of it and say, well, it could be cold, you could then have an argument down the line, but as long as you're up front,
it's a bit of a line as well as to how much do you rely on conversations and how much do you actually have to put in writing, because at the end of the day, you don't want to put so many objections to purchase in the way that purchase off you either.
Yeah.
But you do need to try and protect yourself from any comeback in the future.
Absolutely. And exactly. And you don't want them, I suppose ultimately, you know, you want them to go on and recommend your businesses to their friends and their family. And if you've been open and honest with them about what will work, what won't work, and if they still go on to sort of make their own decision, then, you know, as long as you can stand by that you're...
And it's often about listening to your customers. It's really, really important at the brief-taking stage. So often a customer will come up with a solution because they see no other way, or they'll come up with a specific design idea, but in their heads it's a solution to a problem that they have.
Yeah.
So you as a designer, you've really got to get to the roots of what that problem is to offer an alternative solution, as opposed to, oh, you don't want an extractor, that's fine. The question should be, do you mind me asking why you don't want an extractor? And they might say, we never use our hob. In which case, it's absolutely...
So, I mean, that's all about building that relationship, isn't it? Yep. And I mean, is that something you can teach? Obviously, you've got staff. Is that something you teach, or is that just something that you learn over time with experience?
It's really, really important to teach it. At the end of the day, you know, we live and die by our sales. It's really important that all of your sales staff are performing. And they've got to learn. So we do a lot of mentoring.
And that's part of them buying into you as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you have taken that on and you come across as someone that knows what they're talking about, you give good advice and you're honest with the customer, they're buying into you just as much as the design, just as much as the inspiration they've had. So.
Yeah. Often in the magazine we say, I touched on it before, always go with a designer that you get on with, that you've got a bit rapport with, and that you feel comfortable in saying, no, actually, I don't like that, or I like this, but I don't like this part of it. Sure. And, you know, because if you get into a very transactional relationship and you're not, as a designer, you're not brave enough to challenge the consumer, and the consumer's not brave enough to challenge the designer, then no one's going to be happy by the end of it.
Yeah. And we're very chameleon-like, aren't we, as salespeople? But I think I accept that I'm not going to get on with 100% of the people that come through the showroom.
Yeah.
Maybe 99%. Yeah.
And where does it come down to sort of advising on aesthetics then? Because obviously when we were chatting earlier, we were talking about, you know, what if somebody comes in with this design? We've talked about the technical side and the issues that can arise from a consumer coming in with absolutely no idea what they actually can have. But what happens when they come in and say, we want this colour kitchen with this colour worktop, and you know that that's either going to date, not going to work in terms of aesthetics? Sure. You know, where do you sort of stand in
the
terms
CAD
of...
The CAD systems, of course, are improving all the time. There's a lot of VR here at the show today, which is like an exciting involvement of where we're at with the CAD design. So if they want a purple kitchen with pink work surfaces, you know, we are actually capable of showing them fairly realistically what that's going to look
what
like. There's an element, if they've seen that and you've done everything that you can do and they're still happy to proceed on that basis, and hey, it's their kitchen, not yours at the end of the day.
And that's right, and the customer, at the end of the day, as long as you've had that conversation, will go with what they want. The only thing that does come into that sometimes as well, though, is when you're looking at trends, if they're thinking about selling the property, that's a good one to sort of say,
right,
should you really do go with that colour scheme? Because the trend is showing from what we've seen off what people are bringing in.
Have a purple kettle instead of a purple kitchen.
Yeah, that's right, Add flashes of it, but don't go the whole hop.
And that's actually probably where you come in a lot. I mean, dressing kitchens and bathrooms now has become such an important part of it as well, isn't it? And thinking about the wall coverings or the flooring, just to sort of, you can change up other areas. You don't have to invest in the expensive things.
And there's so much choice out there. I mean, even just wandering around the show here, you know, it's all about personalisation. And actually, we tend to think more about, you know, forever homes or, you know, a longer term home rather than selling it on. And what I've noticed trend wise is homeowners are being much more bold about what they want, and it's, you know, they're maybe not playing it safe as much as they used to, and they might just go for that bold thing because they like it. And they're not really thinking about, is it going to add value to my home?
Yeah.
And a lot of the things you'll see on social media platforms are usually trying to sell a product.
Yeah.
So they will try and be bold, eye-catching.
Our showrooms.
Yeah, true.
Instagrammable moment.
Yeah, that's right. The difference is, as well, is when they look at those sort of things, you're like, yeah, you can go for that, but they have probably spent a hell of a lot of money on producing that.
Yeah.
And we're not talking in you might not be talking in the same realms as far as budget's concerned.
Sure.
So then if you're trying to produce the same look for a lower budget, it might not be as classy as how they've made it look. You have to explain that to the customer as well. But
I was going to say, the reality though is when we're actually looking at colour choices, more often than not, we find ourselves looking at two different, slightly different shades of grey.
Or two slightly different
white work surfaces.
Or two different blues or greens.
That's right.
That's coming through.
Indeed.
Pinks. A lot of pinks now as well. Yeah. Green is a big trend, I think, that's coming.
Sure, rose gold and stuff like that.
Yeah, but that's what's making it interesting, actually. And do you think we could actually thank social media for that, actually? Because that's kind
of
helping to push everybody being adventurous. So I suppose, would you agree then, perhaps, then, that the best designs actually do come from a collaboration between the expert and the consumer?
I think so. I think they do. I think we have... All companies that you see here will invest a lot of money in doing designs that inspire people. But if you're using that and you're also using the customer's inspiration they've seen on social media, you're only going to end up with a better looking bathroom, kitchen, living room, no matter what you're looking at. You're going to have it's like more information is more power, isn't it? So yeah. I think it in the end leads to that.
You know, kind of ties in with the importance of the brief taking, but I'm sure you've had this experience where you've spent a week poring over a kitchen design. You present it, and then the consumer gets involved, and they must have the sink underneath the window, or the must have this there, and start hacking about with it. And it's still a nice kitchen at the end of the day, but perhaps wasn't the cutting edge design that we'd originally presented. Mm.
Do you think it's more creative these days in designing kitchens and bathrooms because there's so much information out there? Yes, it's about distilling what they actually want, but you know, the options are almost endless. Mm. So, and which could potentially lead to a longer design process and really nailing down what they want.
Canon, it does sometimes, I think. And again, it's down to how much homework the consumer does. So people sometimes visit you with a bit of a long list, but it's clearly not a list they've really spent a lot of time thinking about. So you're with them for that journey of that evolution of them actually making their minds up as to what they're actually wanting, as opposed to the ideal, which is where they have done their research first and have actually got quite clear ideas as to what they want when they come see you.
Because I imagine that a lot of people just think, oh my god, that picture on Instagram is so amazing, that's what I want, but actually when you get down to nitty gritty, they don't really need or want that. They want something the complete opposite, because otherwise that wouldn't fit in with their lifestyle.
My colleague had one recently actually where the lady kept saying she wanted a cream kitchen, I think, and then when she was looking at her pins, it was always oak kitchens. She said 20 oak kitchens, so in the end she said, why are you asking me for a cream kitchen? Because everything you showed
clearly
is oak.
You like oak, yeah.
It's because she had an oak floor, so she didn't feel that she could have it. The net result was she changed the floor and had an oak kitchen.
I was about to say that as well. You do find when you're dealing with couples, you might get it where the wife has looked at Instagram and Pinterest and gone through all this effort, and then the husband will just turn around and go, yeah, but that's not going to match the living room, or that's not going to match the hall carpet that we've just spent thousands putting in. And they're like, oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
And then they end up changing it.
That's a really interesting point, actually. Do you find yourself having to manage their relationship more than actually the relationship that you're
sometimes,
trying to build?
Sometimes, especially if they get on with it, yeah.
I had an example recently where it was a husband and wife team, owners, and the husband had a design sort of architecturally type background, and he kept tweaking the plans throughout the project.
Without telling her?
I think, you know, he kind of took charge, but they were working with the kitchen designer as well, and obviously that can cause problems. So managing that relationship goes beyond the briefing stage and obviously goes throughout, but how do you deal with it as designers yourselves? When somebody is maybe has a bit more knowledge because they've worked in the profession, and they, you know, kind of, for want of a better word, start interfering.
A little bit of knowledge can often be dangerous, can't it? A lot of our customer base, I'm sure it's the same for you, Tom, are engineers. And one of the things that's always frustrating is when they're trying to deal with engineering type tolerances, you know, when they're living in a new build house and the walls are out by 25mm vertically just because of how the guy stuck the plasterboard on the walls. Yeah. And getting that across is usually a pretty big challenge.
We do have quite a big problem with looking on a picture and they go, oh, isn't that lovely? And then things with a lot of industry on the bathroom side of it, toilet can only go in one place because where the waste is. So then you sort of thought, well, everything really is designed around where that's going to go because that can't really move. And I find that on the technical side of it, you might find the husband knows where that is, but then the other side, like the wife, might think, well, I can have it wherever I want. And then it's only when you get down to sitting in front of us that they realise, oh, I can't actually do what I've seen on this picture. I need to do it this way, but add elements of it, so colours, textures, all that sort of stuff. Yeah. But the actual design can only be in one place.
But I guess the CADs obviously help with that, and certainly email does, because if you've got both clients' email addresses, then you know, putting it in writing, bullet point fashion, is often easier and more direct than perhaps having to do it face to face. If that's backed up with all the CADs as well and explained in a thorough manner, than most people accept it, I think. You don't see them again.
But I mean, I think, to be honest though, I think, you know, well, maybe I'm just an easy consumer, but I would appreciate the expertise of a designer, and that otherwise I wouldn't be coming to an independent or a well-known brand like yourself. So I think.
Sure.
But maybe not everybody's like me then. But
most people
expertise is crucial.
Most people do. The one I find hardest is where people have no inspiration. They haven't looked at anything. They're like, I want you to design it.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, yeah, that's great. Yeah.
What would you do?
Yeah, what would you do? Yeah. And I was like, well, I would do X, Y, and Z. Don't like that. And then you think, well, okay, well, what? You need to give me a starting point somewhere. I've got to go somewhere. Even just the colour of something, you know, and I can play
give
off
me a bit
that.
Of, bit of a steer.
Yeah, there's got to be some starting point. So that's a bit of a challenge. But most customers these days, that's why I think it's a benefit.
I think we get them excited as well. So, you know, when they visit the showroom, often it may be 10 years since they purchased their last kitchen.
Absolutely.
Things moved on a long way.
That's pretty key,
and, you know, it's great when they visit and leave actually on a high as to really excited about the project as opposed to just buying a kitchen or a bathroom.
Yeah.
Will you often send consumers off with, if they haven't brought anything, will you send them off and say, let's have another meeting in X amount of days? Why didn't you bring with you some pictures or, you know, something?
I've done it very recently. A client just had got 5 bathrooms to do. Couldn't decide on what theme to go with because some people like to go for the same theme all the way through each one. Mm-hmm. And then other customers like to have different styles in different bedrooms and it's en suites. And she just went away, spent a night on the social media platforms and then just sent me an email just of, right, bathroom one this, bathroom two that, da, 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 da. And then it's a lot easier, isn't it? You haven't got to...
Yeah.
You could spend 3 hours in the showroom going around, do you like this? Oh, I like that, don't like that.
Yes.
So yeah, it does help.
You don't want to do that with somebody that's potentially having an extension in 2 or 3 years' time.
No,
so
that's right, yeah.
Establishing early on where people are in the process is really, really
good.
Yeah,
really important.
You can tailor your reactions to, you know, where they're at.
Yeah,
for sure.
Absolutely. Unfortunately, we've got to come to a close now, but I just thought it would be good to finish this conversation with, if you could just sort of summarise, I don't know, your top tips for managing the client. Tom, you first.
Top tips for managing the client.
Just to put you on the spot.
build the trust relationship, I would say, as soon as you can. Be honest, because trust comes from being honest with the people.
Yeah.
Be open, get them excited, and listen to them. And ask often why. I think when people ask someone something, ask why.
Yeah, question their decision. Yeah.
Get a good brief and do your best and you should get the sale.
Brilliant. And you,
I think,
Tom?
Yeah, I think like your last point, understand why they're doing it. So why are they making the change to the property? What don't they like? Just listen to do's and don'ts. Listen to the customer. Try and gain their trust as well. Because they're more likely to listen to you if they trust you. And take on board what they're saying and use it to your advantage.
Yeah.
Brilliant. I think it's all about the rapport. You know, I would always encourage a consumer to ask lots of questions. You know, be prepared, but ask lots of questions. Try to get to know the designer and the company as well. And from the designer's perspective, you know, get to know the consumer.
Yeah.
What get real down into, why do you like that? And, you know, feel comfortable to challenge on the technical side of, you know, actually that's not going to work. Yes, it looks great, but think about you and your family of 5. How is that going to work on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, that's right.
Liam,
definitely.
Thank you. Excellent. Oh, well, thank you all for coming.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.
It's been fun.
Great.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you.